Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. Who is Jesus? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you and to love you. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to present our offering to you today. Thank you that you've made us a peculiar people. Thank you for the blessing in the name of Jesus Christ for everyone who is part of this amazing offering today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, on this swollen Sunday service, we want to receive an offering. And the offering is entitled, God Has Made a Difference Between Me and the World. Amen. Amen. God has made a difference between me and the world. And the second part of that is, the power of God has exempted me from the evil all around me. Amen. The power of God has exempted me from the evil all around me. Is there evil around?
Yes.
There's a lot of evil around. Okay. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Amen. Amen. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So for all time, you will always be odd. You'll be what?
Odd.
You'll be peculiar. And that peculiarity is caused by God and by you serving God. So if you don't want to be odd, the odd one out, you don't want to be unusual, you have to resign this afternoon. What do you think? Huh? Are you ready to resign? Right. So, being a Christian means that you're going to be unusual. And one of the things, amazing things in Christianity, or in actually it's in every sphere of life, is that we have both privileges and responsibilities. And we also have privileges and sacrifices. Do you see? So being odd is something that is both a privilege and is also sometimes a sacrifice. And if you are not prepared to experience both sides, then you must be exempted from both sides. You see, you are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Look, if you want to be normal, excuse me to use the word normal, just ordinary, your life will be a certain way. That's everybody's life is a certain way. Sexually, you'll be a certain way. I don't need to describe the normal. We behave in a certain way, a certain pattern. You don't need any descriptions. I don't need to list the characteristics. Do you see? Yes. But that will be one sacrifice that you may have to make. That instead of having 42 girlfriends, you just have one beloved and one marriage. Instead of having 200 girlfriends or 42 girlfriends, you just have one and one marriage. It may be a sacrifice for you. That's one oddity. You may serve God on Sundays and give your whole day to Him. In our church, we give the whole of Sundays to God. What else would you do with Sunday apart from giving it to the Lord? Amen.
Amen.
There may be oddities of giving apart from the tax we pay. The tax. Then you pay tithes to the house of God. You may have other pledges or other things that you would give, other offerings. It may look like a sacrifice. What I want you to see and know is that with all these odd things, you get it? Odd sacrifices that make you odd. There is another side of the coin where God, all right, blesses you in a very strange way where your blessing is also odd. Do you like the odd and awkward blessings that also come? You know, so much so that you will not be able to do certain things anymore. Yes. There are many things that, for instance, I'm not able to do. I will not say them because I know you want to hear. But certain things I can't do because of certain reasons. I cannot do them. All right? And then there's also the oddness of the blessing, that sometimes God has blessed you that you realize that this one, the way it is, I have to just enjoy it privately because it's odd for a person to be blessed in that way. So there's the two sides of every coin. If you have a coin, you see one side of the coin, heads and tails. So you look at one side, it looks like you can only have heads. But if you turn it around, you'll find that there's something completely different. And that is how the blessings of the Lord are that make you awkward and odd. There are some sacrifices, but there are some fantastic privileges and blessings. And one of them is that God has made a difference between you and the world. And the power of God has exempted you from the evil that is all around us. Amen.
Amen.
You'll never be called a wicked sinner.
Amen.
Because of the power of God.
Amen.
On your life. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, "Who maketh thee to differ from another?" Who makes you different? What if you are different? Who made you different? God made you different. God no go shame us. Who made you different? Amen.
Amen.
Who made you different? And who is making you different to the point where they worry the neighbors? The blessing will worry the neighbors. Huh? The blessing go loud. It go worry the neighbors. Now, you see, this is also something you may, you go worry the neighbors, so you have to eat it privately. Yes. I mean, when your neighbor has got a plate of rice with one piece of chicken, now God has blessed you that the whole chicken is before you. Consume and let us see. It go worry the neighbors. Because the neighbors are having only one small piece of chicken. And you have the whole chicken. Nicely roasted the way you like it. By all means, it go worry the neighbors. Hallelujah. Receive neighbor-worrying blessings. Today, as we give our offering, it go loud. And the neighbors, they go make worried. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou didst not receive? Anything I have and anything you have, it's a receiving something. Not you worked for, but you received. Amen. So I need you to open your heart and expect God to make a difference between you and the world, financially as well. Leviticus chapter 25. Father, we pray for victory over the pandemic, over sickness, over pain, over disasters, over the evil that is all around us, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to show you an amazing blessing. And I want you to remember this verse, because you normally don't have verses from Leviticus. How many want to tell the truth that normally you don't have verses from Leviticus? You have Ephesians and Romans, but Leviticus, no. Okay? Yes. Now, Leviticus 25. Who maketh thee to do what? To differ. You'll be exempted. Amen. You'll be exempted. Amen. You'll be exempted. Amen. Verse 18. Leviticus 25, verse 18. Wherefore you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety. You are declared secured and safe by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. No evil that is moving around will touch you, no matter where you are living or where you are watching from, in Jesus' name. And the land, verse 19, shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill. No one will be hungry under this commission anymore. All those who have been passing by KFC and wondering, Lord, when? That day of asking when is over. From today, KFC is available to you in Jesus' name. You shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. Amen. Now, verse 20. And if you shall say, because he told them on the seventh year, don't plant and don't work. Leave the year for a Sabbath. If you shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. So God is saying, are you listening? Yeah. If you say, what are we going to eat next year or this year, because we are not sowing and we are not planting, because God said leave the land for 1 year. Are you watching?
Yes.
Verse 21 is the magic verse. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. I'll command my blessing on you, and it will bring enough fruit that goes for 3 years. Yes. Yes. I will command my blessing. Because you do what I say. I command blessing that the thing will now bring enough that lasts for 3 years. So that you shall sow in the eighth year and eat yet of old fruit. Verse 22, until the ninth year, until her fruit come in, ye shall eat of the old store. We are talking of financial ascendancy and control, controls of money. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus demonstrated when he came on earth. And you will expect that if Jesus was the Son of God, he should control money as well. If he can control life and death, then he can control money. And God is saying here that, look, I can command the blessing. You go to work, you go to... You see, that's why people work so hard and get nothing. It's because you still do need the blessing of God for the work you are doing to yield something. Yes. If there is no blessing, it's not hard work. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. In other words, that is actually what will make you rich. Because a lot of people have salaries. That doesn't make you rich. In every country is like that. There may be salaries, but people are not rich. The blessing of the Lord, it said, I will command blessing on what you are doing, and it will give enough fruit for 3 good years. You like or you don't like? You want God to command and say, hey, this one bless, this one bless. Then the thing that comes for this year can last for 3 years. Wow. Is it too much for you? She. It's beautiful. I will command my blessing. Underline this verse in your Bible, Leviticus 25 and verse 21. All right. I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 good years. Amazing. Amazing what? Amazing grace. Amen. Power. You know, in this season, I think what God has been showing us by his Spirit is that, look, you know, I remember when I read some years ago, if God became a man, he should demonstrate control and power over certain things. Like sickness, like blindness, like death. And right now, I see in this season, God is showing us that if God was to become a man, he should also demonstrate control over money, supplies, provisions, fruitfulness. And I believe that he is showing us. And that is why he can tell you that you will be exempted from all the evil, and that God has made a difference. How will he make a difference? He will say, he will speak to your what you are doing and say, bless. Bless this one. Bless this one. Bless this one. And the small that you do, it just blossoms. And a blessing comes into your life. And when he doesn't speak a blessing, you can work and work and work. All right? One bill, one event can swallow like a whale. You know, do you know the heart of a whale is the size of a car? Yes. The heart of a blue whale is the size of a car. So like a Hyundai, one of the cars like the Hyundai, I don't know which particular, but I remember that particular article that I read, it was a Volkswagen car. They said that the heart, just the heart that pumps, is the size of a car. Yes. When something like a whale is coming for you, and its heart alone is like a car which you can sit in, then what about if it opens the mouth big like this to swallow? You'll never be swallowed by a whale in Jesus' name. All right. So God has made a difference between you and the world. Father, as we sow our seeds and tap into this supernatural control of money and of blessing, let us practically see and discover that you are the divine controller of many, many things. Lord, I have seen since I began to serve you that all things are controlled by you. We can strive, but we never have anything. And today, we are about to sow a seed and give an offering. Lord, you said, give it shall be given to you, and men will start giving to you. Open the windows of heaven as we present our tithes, as we serve you with joy. Bless everyone financially. Take away difficulty. Take away scrounging for money. Take away searches. Searches for increase. Searches for money. Grant abundance and provision in the midst of this difficulty we are seeing in the world today. Thank you. I bless everyone as we sow the seed to build your house and to build your church in our time. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. On the screen is a way to give. And right there, feel free, sow your seed. In every country, there's a way to give. Just give in the country where you are. We are one big family. Anything you give here can be used there. Amen. Anything you give where? Here can be used there. Anything you give there can be used here. It's a family. Amen. That's a blessing. So sow your seed liberally. Tap into control of finances. Tap into control of finances. And I know God is going to bless you. Many buildings and projects are being done all over the world. And as you sow your seed, you see that churches are being built that you don't know anything about. This is just one of the cathedrals in Akimoda. And beautiful, big projects. Mankesim Central Region in Ghana. Pedwasi Cathedral. This is the Pedwasi Cathedral. You know, in Ghana, the president has a special retreat center. Not personally, it's for the presidency. So it is Camp David, like Camp David in America. It's called Pedwasi. And we have a beautiful cathedral right there. As you can see, it's a very beautiful cathedral there. And it's right on the mountain. And amen. Many. Samankese. That's where the Church of Pentecost started in Ghana. Samankese Cathedral. And they are building something there. Kibi, that's the president's hometown. Many. Koko Cathedral. They are building some office blocks and other things. Beautiful. You are blessed as you give. Amen. God is using you mightily to build it. You don't even know that you are being used to build a church, but you are being used. Amen. A brother sent me a message. He said, this is the message. I thank you. I cannot thank you enough. This one, he sent it to me from a town called Kintampo. And he said, I cannot thank you enough for thinking about us and building all these buildings for us. Last Sunday, whilst I took the offering at church and I spoke about the buildings, I reminded the church that all our branches now have buildings. And we would not have to worry about closure of schools. Because before, when the school is closed, you cannot have church because the churches were meeting in classrooms, in schools, some of the schools there. So now we do not have to worry about the closure of schools. Or even if the government announces no more church in schools, it will not affect at least those that area. We will do our very best to maintain these buildings and keep them in good shape. Always by the grace of God. We will work on beautifying each church with trees and plants. We are working on connecting electricity to some of the buildings. Because not all of them have electricity. Beautiful. And they showed us a picture of the people meeting under the trees. I don't know if I sent you that picture. Beautiful. Amen. But they were having church under trees. Amen. So, it's amazing. So God bless everybody who is building a church. And now we are moving into cathedrals. Many people are joining to build a cathedral. Just make sure you call my secretary. She will tell you it's very, very possible now. Just find out. And you'll find out that you are capable. And but when the day that you die, you may be surprised that it's like the main thing that you did in the world. Yeah, that's a picture he sent me. He said, this is the church service. This was before the church building was built. So that's church. You see, you find a tree. And I mean, I don't think a snake usually draws, but the snakes also stay in trees. And then if you study snakes, you find out that, God forbid, no snake will ever fall on your head. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for this great opportunity as we give this offering. Let's welcome Keziah to sing a song very quickly. Amen.
Jesus, 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 in the beginning you were there, and you saw the world being created. Without you, nothing was made. Everything was made by you. You are the Word of God. You are on the hand of the Father interceding for me. You are so beautiful. You are so lovely, Lord. You are so beautiful, my lovely Lord. I love you so. Jesus, 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 I've never seen you, but I believe in you, my Lord, Jesus, my precious Savior. You're the Son of God. I'm drawn to your story, to the story of my Lord and Savior. I love hearing stories of Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are so beautiful. You are so lovely, Lord. You are so beautiful, my lovely Lord. I love you so. Jesus, 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 you are so full of love, and you are so kind and full of truth, and yet so full of grace. You know all my sins, all my shortcomings, yet you look at me with those loving eyes and so much tenderness. Oh, 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 you are so beautiful. You are so lovely, Lord. You are so beautiful, my lovely Lord. I love you so. In the beginning you were there. You saw the world being created. Everything was made by you. Without you, nothing was made. You are so beautiful. You are so lovely, Lord. You are so beautiful, my lovely Lord. I love you so. Jesus, 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 you are the Son of God. In you is light, so much light. Your light is shining in my life, shining in my darkness. Now evil is overcome. Your life is now the light of man. Jesus, I am so drawn to you. Oh, oh, Lord, you are so beautiful. You are so lovely, Lord. You are so beautiful, my lovely Lord. I love you so. You are so beautiful, my lovely Lord. I love you so.
Amen. Are you excited to be with us for our Swollen Sunday? Who is Jesus? Amen. And I believe we're about to have a powerful time. It's time for the word. It's time for the most exciting part of today. We've already heard fantastic prophecies and prophetic guidance for our finances. And I believe God has more for us. Tell your neighbor, God has more for us. And I'm excited right here in First Love Studios in Accra, Ghana. I'm welcoming all of you from all over the world and all the different languages and all the different mediums on TV, on radio, on Facebook, on YouTube. I want to welcome you to our fantastic Who is Jesus Sunday. And I know your life is about to be transformed. And today, bringing us the Word of God is my favorite pastor, my favorite preacher, a world-renowned evangelist, a prophet and an apostle to many churches and many people all over the world. And he happens to be our very own resident shepherd. And his name is Bishop Dag Heward Mills. First Love, if you are as excited as I am, put your hands together as we declare in faith that nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. Nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. Come on, sing, nothing is impossible.
When you're trusting in His word.
Now say, hearken to the voice. Is there anything too hard? Then put your trust in God. Best Love Church, one more time. Let's sing, nothing is impossible.
It's impossible when you put your trust in God.
Come on, lift your hands and sing faith. Sing, nothing is impossible.
When you trust in His word.
Hearken to the voice. Is there anything too hard? Now tell your soul, put your trust in God. Put your trust in God alone
and rest upon His word. Oh, everything, yes, everything is possible.
Give a shout of faith and welcome our preacher, Bishop Dag Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for this amazing opportunity that we have in you today. Speak to us and tell us who Jesus is and who He is to us most of all. Thank you for this great opportunity. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you are at home, please stop frying eggs and let's just concentrate for a few moments on the Word of God. Amen. And our subject today is, who is Jesus? Number one, Jesus is the person who loves you. Jesus is a person who loves you. He loves you very much. Amen. And Jesus has been trying to get your attention. You know, all through this life, you are going to be looking for love. Apart from looking for a job, you'll be looking for love. That's the truth. If nobody has told you, I'm telling you. You're not even looking for marriage, but looking for love. Because people know of a lot of marriage problems. But at every wedding, people are just happy. I was at a wedding yesterday and everybody was happy. They're just happy. Because love is a beautiful thing. And like I said, all through life, you're going to be looking for love. Apart from looking for a job, you'll be looking for love. All right? And love is going to keep drawing you to different places. And sometimes when you go on a journey to find love, you get bitten by a snake. Because there was a snake hiding under the love rock that you went looking for. You'll be looking for love and looking for attention. Looking for a lover. Looking for somebody who says, I like you. I really, really like you. And somebody who says, I love you. And somebody who says, I want you to be with me. I want to be with you. Will you like to be with me? You like me. You like me enough. Will you stay with me? Will you call me? I'll be calling you. Let's sit and talk, you know. So you'll be searching for love. And I have such good news for those who are looking for love, which includes all of us, is that Jesus is the answer to your search for love. Like, He is the one really worth loving. And He loves you. Amazing that He likes you. You know, sometimes somebody says, I like you. But, you know, maybe He likes something about you. Do you see? He likes something about you, but not that He likes you. Or she says, I like you. And you get the feeling, what exactly does she like? Now, almost everybody who is maybe a rich and successful person will have hundreds of people apparently loving him. You get what I'm saying? Do you love me? Oh, yes, I do. I like you very much. Oh, I love you. You know, you see the person is 82 years old, is marrying somebody who's 26. And she says she's deeply in love. You get what I'm saying? Now, all of us who are standing by and watching have other thoughts in our head as to why it's what is going on that this 26-year-old girl is in love with this 81 or 77-year-old man or 68-year-old man, rich man. Do you see? Yeah. Now, dear friends, so you always suspect, why? Do you really like me? Do you really love me? And then people say, I love you. And then after a while, you find out that it's not only you. I love you and I love this one and I love this other one and I love this one. And some of the other people you love, as well as the person you claim you love, neutralize or cancel out the one that you said you love. You see, because by loving certain people, you hate others. Yes. Jesus said you cannot love two masters. So when you love two things, you often cancel out the love of the other one. It can never be true. Because that's the word of God. You cannot love two masters. So I love you. Now I love this other person. That other love you have has completely wiped out every claim that you made that you love this one. And then when you look at the nature of a human, una rata, you know, where people are treacherous, like somebody can actually be having a marriage, you know, and you find out that he's married already. Now, that is the basis of this announcement, that if you know of any lawful impediment, why you may not be lawfully joined together with this man, you do confess it now. For be ye well assured that so many as are joined together otherwise than God's word doth allow are not joined together by God, and neither is their matrimony lawful. Why do you think we say all this at weddings? Because it has happened so many times. Yes. Do you know of any impediment? Do you know of any impediment? And there are impediments. But you will not say it because of the treacherous nature of humans. And so we know that when you are going to love somebody, you look at the person and you wonder, what is in this person? What treacherous traits can be found in this person? You know, so you even scared. Like, that's why Joseph was afraid to marry Mary. And it took an angel. When Joseph found that Mary was pregnant, he said, no. No. No, no. My virgin. My special Mary. What? Peter, you have been my beloved. I knew that it was just me and you. Oh! And Joseph's heart was broken. He went to sleep. He took sleeping tablets. He went for discuss with his friend. I mean, he didn't know what to do with himself. So one night when he was asleep, an angel came and said to him, Joseph, I know you are afraid of Mary. And rightly so. You should be afraid of certain people. I know you think that she loves somebody else apart from you. But I want to assure you that thing that is in her, it's not from somebody else, as you are suspecting. It's not as it seems. It may seem that way, but it's not so. So I want to assure you, by divine decisions, take Mary. Don't give her up. Keep her. It's not as it seems. You'll find out later what I'm telling you. So by a divine decision, Joseph decided to stay with Mary. But it was not an easy decision to marry somebody who has an unclaimed pregnancy, an unidentified lover. a man, a mystery figure who has impregnated your beloved and no name has come up. And as you walk in town, you don't know who. When you meet people, you don't know, is it you, 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 is it you. You don't know who they are, and they are all around. You don't know who is fooling you. It took an angel to stabilize Joseph's heart. That's the way love is these days. You can't be sure many times for the people who say, I love you. And so the search for love continues. And everybody is looking for love. People find love and their hearts are broken. People look for love in different people. Some look for love and say, no, I'm going to marry someone from another country. Because all the men in my country are some way. I know Ewe girls who say they will never marry an Ewe. I will only marry somebody who's not an Ewe. Yes. I know black people say, I want to marry a white man. I know white people say, I want to marry a black man. I know South Africans who say, I want to marry a Ghanaian. I don't want to marry a South African. I mean, everybody is trying to find the solution to the problem of love. You get what I'm saying? To see if we can get a solution and make it work. We are searching for love. But I have some news for you today. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who loves you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love, what type of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You see, love is something you must prove. There are types of love. And that's why the Bible says, what manner of love, what type of love? There's a type of love that God is showing us through Jesus. Not a temporary, fading, withering, short-lived love of a man. Even Jesus himself did not commit himself to men. That's why he continued to love Peter and his other disciples after they betrayed him. God, he was expecting it. He said, you betray me tomorrow, I know, but you are my, I'm sending you to the world after betrayal. But I know you betray me tomorrow. So Jesus loves you. What manner of love is higher than any love, the love of boys and the love of men? Take it from me. You know something? You don't believe me. Ask any mature person, anybody who's lived in this world for some time. And when the Bible says, behold, what type, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That's the evidence of the extent of his love for you. A man meets you and loves you and says, I've changed your name from Ejepong to Scarborough. Yes. Like he's changed your whole name. You are now Mrs. Scarborough. Yes, he's changed your name. He's changed who you are. And that's the evidence. He puts a ring on your finger. And that's the evidence of his love for you. And God is saying, look at what type of love God has showed us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, we see another amazing description of this love. I'm telling you, Jesus is the one you are looking for because he's the one who loves you. I know you are all looking for love. Yeah, I know you are looking for love. And I'm telling you that the person you are actually looking for is Jesus, because Jesus is the one who loves you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. God has great love. Great love wherewith he loved us. Like he used a great kind of love to love you. That's who Jesus is. He is your great lover. You know, love, there's types and there's levels. There's great love and there's love. There are some people who don't love much. If you live long, you meet different types of people. You see someone say, I love you. It means very little. It's like someone says, do you have water? I have water. It means he has like a little bit in the glass. Someone says, I have water. It means he has a big tank. For his great love. The love of God is great. The love of Jesus is the great love you are looking for as a girl. And you are looking for as a man. Every man, don't think it's only girls who are looking for love. If you want to see a crybaby, you will see it in a man many times. You can see criers. They can cry. Boys can cry like girls. They can cry buckets. Karabashapayadala. Yes. Boys can cry as much as girls. Just like boys can cook as well as girls. If only they have the opportunity. Yes. If they have the opportunity and then also the training, they can cook as well as girls. But it's only that experience. We lack experience and opportunity. We lack opportunity and experience. God is rich in mercy. Now, whenever somebody has great love, the love has an element which makes it great love. And that element of great love is richness of mercy. Yes. Richness of mercy. If there's a word like that. I don't know if it's the right word. Richness. I don't know if there's anything like that. But we can create it. Yeah. That there's a lot of mercy. Now let me tell you something. To love somebody like you, do you see? You need to be rich in mercy. Somebody like who?
Me.
You. Do you know who I can liken you to? I liken all of us to. One day I was watching a wildlife film and I saw a pride of lions resting in the afternoon. They like sleeping. And they were lying down. And then their cubs, their babies, were playing with them. You would like it if you see lions playing with their children. Hey! The baby will come and bite his mother or the father. They'll play, they'll jump on them, they'll roll over. The father even becomes like a slide. They slide down, they slide up, they play. And I was thinking to myself, these are killers. Do you get what I'm saying? These are what? Killers who are expressing such love and they look so harmless and so loving. Like, you even wish that human beings would be like that when they are playing with their children. Yeah, but they are killers. They are blood. When you see them, if they have killed blood, everybody in the forest is angry with the lions. Yes. Lions don't have friends. That's why they don't. They stay to themselves. They don't have friends. When a lion goes to the forest and comes home, everybody is angry. He's a killer. He spoils families. He kills people's parents. He kills people's children. He takes people's children. Sometimes the only child. He will take the child, take somebody's only child, kill their father, kill their mother, and you see the whole face covered with blood. And just shortly after that, you see them playing like the baby slides. This one jumping over. This one will go there. He will pick the child with the head, you know, or the back of the neck. Or sometimes they hold the head inside the mouth and you'll be walking with the child and drop him here and drop him here, and they're all playing. That's how you are. You look so loving and so humble. The wickedness that is in you, Hey. Killers. Wicked. It's true. It's true. And so, in order to love people like us, you need to have great love and you need to be rich in mercy. Yes. You need to be what? Rich in mercy. And God is rich in mercy. Jesus is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. You know, he never even cursed Judas. Judas, he didn't curse him. He just kept warning him. You know, Jesus, in a sense, I don't know if you've ever been going somewhere and directed by Google Maps. Sometimes it reminds me of Jesus, because when he tells you turn right and you don't turn right and you go to the next wrong place, he just continues trying with the new suggestion of the next place. Meanwhile, you disobeyed him. You've disobeyed him three times. You've disobeyed him. He says, can you go? Then this is the next way. Patiently talking to people who are disobedient in some way. Full of mercy, ready with the next suggestion based on the trouble that you've brought. God is rich in mercy, and he has loved you. And you see my hand? God is stretching out his hand to love you. He loves me by putting me here to preach. And he loves you by putting you there to listen. That he loves you. And he is the love and the lover you are looking for. You not get, I tell you, look, not that I'm old, but by my age and by my experience in this life, you will never get any bider boy, man, African, European, Asian, Latino, and what? Alaskan, any place. As white as snow, as black as the dark night without stars. Yes. You never get anybody to love you like Jesus loves you. You can stay from now till you're 100 years old. I'm telling you, never get anybody to love you like Jesus loves you. Yes. And you know what I'm saying is true. Everybody here knows what I'm saying is true. Yes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. God is love. You know, then God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Whenever they have elections, you see hatred and bitterness. Those you hate, some people love. So we wonder where love is. You get what I'm saying? Because some people are very angry, some people are very happy, some people hate, some people seem to be hateful, some people seem to be full of love. One finds you loving, the other person finds you hateful. It's amazing. What is that? Like I said, it's like the lions. The cubs find you loving, but every other animal finds you hateful. Yes. And the Bible says, we have known, we have believed the love that God has to us. You must believe in his love. You must actually accept. You may not know that you are difficult to love. One of the greatest problems in this world is the ability to receive love and the ability to be loved. Yes. Oh, if somebody loves me, I'll receive it. Not true. My experience, what I have seen, is that many people rather cannot be loved. If you love them, they'll bite you. Yes. One day I saw a film of a lady with one arm. Do you know how she had one arm? Do you want me to tell you? Yes. She was a very loving woman. And she loved what? Wildlife. Do you see? So now, there was a tiger in a cage. And this woman who cares about these animals, cares about their survival, that they are becoming extinct, that their species are being reduced, and people are killing them, went near, just a little too near the cage. And the tiger who was inside the cage, who eats, like the tigers cannot come through the bars, found a way to put his paws through the bars and then held the woman's shoulder and remove the shoulder. Yes! It's a true, you can check it and see. That was his response to her love. Try loving some people. Try what? Loving some people. When Jesus came to this world, what did they do to him? You tell me what he didn't last 3 years of talking. 3 years of preaching. They put him up for election with Barabbas. And he lost woefully. Barabbas won. They said, do you want Jesus or Barabbas? Jesus or... Hey, give us Barabbas. We don't want to hear of this man who preaches. And there, Barabbas was chosen by the people of his day. We are the most difficult people to love. And many lovers are turned into haters after loving the unlovable for some time. When you love the unlovable for some time and you keep getting bites and pricks and venom sticks into your skin, it changes. And that's why the Bible says, we have known and have believed the love that God has. When he loved us, we just accepted it and we believe it. And today I want you to accept and believe. Just relax. Some of you cannot relax. Relax and accept the love of Jesus. Relax and accept him. He likes you. You won't get it anywhere. You will never get anybody to love you. Live as long as 92. Yesterday, my wife went for a funeral. The woman who died has been married for 72 years. Talk about it. Not her life, her marriage, 72 years. And you see how surprised you are. Because it's not her age, it's her marriage. And you see that it's not easy to be married for 72 years. You wonder how many times she tried to resign as she was going. Today, God is telling you, accept it. God is telling you what? Accept it. Don't fight it. Jesus is the one who likes you. Of the people in this world, I'm telling you, mark it anywhere if you want to see this world. The one who loves you, he's called Jesus. Yeah. The one who likes you. When he said, I really, really like you and I want you, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. If you ask me who is Jesus, I'll tell you Jesus is the one who likes you and the one who loves you. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. Our last scripture as we close. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Wow. I love you with an everlasting love. Love not changing. I love you with an everlasting love. Yes. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God is drawing you. God is pulling you to himself with his love. He won our hearts on the cross when he died for us and left this world after a very brief life. He has loved you with an everlasting love. Sometimes I picture Jesus outside your window, singing to you, singing a song. He's serenading you. He's singing to you. He's talking to you. He's telling you that I like you. I love you. If your eyes could open, you would see. You know, if you drive around in the night, sometimes I drive in the night, you see at certain places, you see dogs, groups of dogs, sitting in the streets. That's how demons are. If you could see in the spirit, you see demons. They are waiting. They are all hovering. Sometimes in trees, you see groups of birds. On the street, you see dogs, animals, hidden. Sometimes you see a leopard lying alone in the tree. These are evil powers. They are waiting. They are hoping you won't believe in Jesus. They are hoping you will not accept it. But Jesus is stretching out his hand. He's standing behind your window. He's singing a love song to you. He's saying, I like you. I really, really love you. He's opened his heart and he's opened his hands to you. And he says, come to me. When I was 16 years old, I found Jesus as a teenager. I have never regretted finding Jesus and submitting and surrendering my life to the one whom after 50 years of living on this earth, I am more sure that he's the only one who loves me. I'm very sure of that. Yeah. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Today, I want you to open your heart. Because there is a Redeemer. There is a Savior who died for you. And there is a Savior who loves you so much that he came all the way himself. You know, sometimes when somebody comes himself, times I've been to places, they say, but didn't you think you'll come yourself? He came himself to tell us that he loves us. And that's why perhaps the most famous verse in the whole Bible is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to pray with you right now. There is a Redeemer, and Jesus died for you, and that Redeemer is there, is here to save you, to like you, to love you, and to take your whole life. I wish I could tell the whole world that there is a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus. I want to tell everybody I know about this Jesus and how much he really likes you and loves you and has opened his arms so wide. Come to him and see how real he is. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. And you see my hand stretched out to you? That is how his hand is stretched out to you. Every standing.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of
a Redeemer. There's somebody who paid the price for you.
There is a Redeemer.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus, God's
own Son.
Just relax and accept and receive this Savior. Jesus, his special everlasting love, lasting through all the changing scenes of life, everlasting love of Jesus. I want you to open your heart and say this simple prayer with me. Say, Jesus. Everyone, just pray with me at home as you are watching. Just pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for loving me so much. I feel your love. And I thank you for your everlasting love, your great love, wherewith you love me. Today, I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for my sins, my wicked ways, all the bad things I've done. Today, I respond to your love. I respond to your love. And I accept your great love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Please wash away my sins with your blood. Please cleanse me with your blood from all my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for choosing me. Jesus, thank you for reaching to me. I love you. And from today, everybody say, from today, I give my heart and my soul and my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Help me to serve you. Now, I want everybody to lift your hands with me like this and say, Jesus, from today, I will serve you and follow you. Help me to be your servant from today. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am your servant. I am your follower. I am your child. I believe in you. I accept you finally today. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now lift one of your hands like this and say after me, Satan, listen carefully. From today, I part company with you. I part company with you. From today, I release myself from your curse and your bondage. In the name of Jesus, I bind every devil that is following me to destroy me. I belong to Jesus and I will serve Jesus from today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, if you pray this simple prayer to give your life to Jesus today, I want you to look on the screen. There is a Redeemer. And take this number and send us a text, send us a WhatsApp right now, and we're going to get in touch with you. Today is your day of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us today. Thank you, Jesus. Take this number again. Take this number again. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes. Write to us, send us a text. Jesus loves you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your son, and leaving your spirit there. Your work on earth is done.
Sing it for the last time. Just lift your hand and hope. Thank you. testimonies of saving our lives. We love you, Father. Thank you that whosoever believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth shall be saved. Thank you for many that are saved today, and that will be saved next week also, and that will be saved every week, and that our lives will be used to save people. Thank you for salvation, for blessing, and for your mighty power that is released in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give Jesus a clap offering for who is Jesus. And now, I'm going to pray for healing. Now that you have received Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to pray for healing for everybody who has received Jesus and for all of us. And to do this, we are going to receive our Holy Communion. Amen. And that Holy Communion is something that once you know Jesus, you can partake of his body and of his blood. And through that, we are going to pray for healing as there's a pandemic raging in this world and many, many difficulties, financial, economic, medical crisis, every kind of evil. Jesus is the answer for the world today. And Jesus is whom we hold on to. Our faith is in Jesus. Jesus is our anchor. Jesus is our way. Jesus is the way for us who believe in him. Amen. So now take your Holy Communion bread, all right? If you have your Holy Communion, take it out in the house, wherever you are. Remember, 29th of November, we're beginning live services in First Love Church. It's coming on at Jesus Savior of the World Square. All right, it's found in Mampong in Ghana. Jesus Savior of the World Square. Okay, like Trafalgar Square, this is Jesus Savior of the World Square. Okay. Tiananmen Square, Black Star Square, Independence Square, Times Square. This is Jesus Savior of the World Square. Beautiful. All right. Now, every standing, this bread I hold represents the body of Jesus Christ. Father, I want to personally thank you for sending your Son. I thank you, you are real. You made the heavens. You made the sun. You made the moon. You made the stars. You made the universe. And I believe in you. I'm so sorry and apologize to you for how this world have managed to create a system in which you are excluded and ignored. I am apologizing to you, Father, for all this horribleness towards you. We thank you for your Son, whom you have sent to be a Savior to us. As we partake of this bread, we believe we are partaking of his body. He was your beloved Son. And as we receive this, may we become beloved sons too. And may everybody become a beloved son and a beloved daughter. Thank you for this great blessing. We also receive miracle healing at this time. Oh, for by your stripes and the breaking of your body into pieces on the cross, we are healed. And therefore, as we partake of this broken body, we partake of the healing that came through this broken body. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the blood of Jesus Lord, we came into the world to make so many mistakes. Lord, even by the age of 25, we have already made so many mistakes. We never even reached middle age, and our mistakes were more than enough to fill a book. Lord, we pray that our mistake and the effect of our mistakes be wiped out by the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Whatever has canceled our ability to receive love and to walk in love, let our experiences and our mistakes no more be counted against us because of the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Let all curses, remnants of devils, remnants of the serpent seed in us be washed away by this precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now lift your hands and receive your great blessing from God. Father, thank you for all that have found Jesus today. Let indeed your blessing of peace rest upon everyone who is part of this great service. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your healing flow and your power flow right now. Receive peace from God. Whatever is an issue of concern in your life, receive peace. Receive peace. Receive peace. Receive peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Every source of anxiety, I banish it from your life. Every source of concern, I rebuke it. Be healed of it right now. Be restored. Every niggling fear of sickness and of impending death, I reject it right now in the name of Jesus. That which says you would die this year, you would die next year, you would die soon, you are finished, I rebuke the voice of darkness, the voice of death, the voice of devils in your life. Go now in Jesus' name. You shall not live a lie where your life is in question every day. From today, you are at liberty to serve God freely. You are crossing 70 years with ease. You are serving God through the pandemic and beyond. You are bearing much fruit in the season to come. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon you and upon your household. Let all those that love Jesus be blessed. And let all those that fight against the Lord, our Savior, be anathema maranatha. Lord, come quickly. According to your word, we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Are you glad he reached out? Are you thanking him today?
Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. When you found me, Lord, I was far, so far, so far away. When you reached out to save me, I couldn't believe you wanted me. Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. Oh, yeah. I'm so grateful, Lord. Thanks for reaching, thanks for saving. Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. When you put your eyes on me, Lord, you never took them off again. You were determined to reach me, Lord. You sent your very best man to talk to me, to rescue me and to reach out to me. Oh yeah. Nothing could hold you back, my Lord. You did everything to reach me.
Jesus, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus, my teacher.
Ooh,
Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my shepherd.
Are you glad?
Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me.
Oh Lord, Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. Loving me, Jesus, oh yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
but you found me, Lord, and you called me, Lord. You love me, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thanks for reaching, thanks for saving, thanks for caring for me, oh Lord. Oh, for sending your very best man to me. Thanks for reaching, thanks for reaching.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.